Hey everyone, welcome back to Bitwiser the podcast. And today we're continuing our PAX West 2019 coverage with the Dark Crystal Age of Resistance Tactics. In this interview, we talk with David Pottinger, president of Bonus XP and the lead developer on the Dark Crystal Age of Resistance Tactics. Find out more about this video game set in Thrall and based on the Netflix original series that just came out, The Dark Crystal Age of Resistance. So give it a listen and learn more and, let us know what you think.
I'm Dave Pottinger. I'm the president of Bonus XP and the game director for Dark Crystal.
So how did the game start? Like, right, because there's so many different game types. Why tactics for a Dark Crystal adaptation?
Two reasons. One is what our concept artist wanted to do. and two, it made sense with the richness of the lore and the amount of content in the world. It's a way where you can get up close and personal with characters, and like, it felt like a really good attachment to the franchise. But it turns out, with close to 40 years of Dark Crystal stuff, there's just a lot to pull from, and that kind of rich background gives us a lot of different characters and creatures to use in a game like this. It turned out to be both just what we wanted to do. We have a long history of strategy games, and it's a good match mechanically too.
Yeah. My big question is, why Fizzgigs? Like, that seems like when it comes to adding them to the game, as is one of the characters, right? Why choose Fizzgigs as something to add? Because they seem very different than a Podling and a Gelfling.
That's exactly the answer. They're different and furry and cute. And, in a game, in part of the Dark Crystal, I think the greatness of the IP is it's this big, particularly with the Netflix season, it's this big, expansive, lush, beautiful world that has a massively dark story paired with it, right? And we use the Fizzgigs a lot for levity.
Yeah.
And they bring some factors to the world that if it's all Gelflings and Skeksis fighting and stuff like that, it gets a little dour. And so the Fizzgigs are great for they have a buffing ability called this will probably change. It's called Lick 'em Up now. And they kind of crouch and they bounce up and they lick somebody next to them. It gives them a bonus, and it's just that type of fun is, and that reaction that you have there, like that's why we have them there.
Yeah.
So that they can bring some excitement and just some balance to the genocide that's going on.
Yeah, it is really weird when you actually step back and you think about what the Dark Crystal is, the story it is actually telling.
It helps us. The world is very vibrant and alive too, so that's nice. But for us as designers, we want people to have options and feel like they get a lot of differences in the gameplay. If it was all Gelflings, we could make that cool and fun, but having Podlings, so they have a different set of a gear. You didn't see the gear system in the game at all that is there, but each of the Gelflings and Podlings and Fizzgigs equip different types of gear, and they have different sets of jobs and stuff, so it's most people are probably going to play 50-75% Gelflings, but then the Podlings and Fizzgigs are great support characters to kind of add in and really spice up the game.
I mean, I will be playing Pombo every round.
I do want to ask, obviously we talked about it but since obviously we're now voice recording, can you go about how you addressed the wing issue with flying?
if you're a fan of the Dark Crystal, all the females can fly, particularly in the time period that we're in, which is about 100 years before the original movie. And by the original movie, the wings were not, they had sort of lost the ability to fly, and it was more of a gliding. But here it's full on flight. And so we want to represent the IP appropriately. So the first thing we did with the females was give the ability to fly. And then unfortunately, that had the immediate impact where everybody in our entire studio just started playing all the female Gelflings because they could all fly, and who doesn't want to fly? So we've actually modified that a little bit now, and some of the jobs for the different Gelflings, if you're female, they'll give you the ability to fly. So they do have an advantage over their male counterparts, but those jobs are designed with that in mind, so that in the end it's still all balanced, and you have a reason to pick some of the other Gelflings that you otherwise wouldn't pick.
One of the things that really struck me, like just getting pulled into the game, like even just the crystal on the screen right now, like everything feels very alive in the same way the show and the movie does. And I know you said that you worked with the Henson Company to get the art there. What were some of the challenging pieces of art? Because looking at the character models in here, they're very detailed and very layered, and I. Just the fact that you just see the little piece of the wings popping out, like that's a small detail. What went into that?
It's not exactly the most straightforward answer to that question, but I think as fans of the show and the movies and the books and stuff ourselves, in some ways the biggest challenge is making sure we do it justice.
Yeah.
The Henson Company has been great. They invited us out to the feature workshop, and we actually got to meet with Lisa Henson herself, and I think we were about 4.5 minutes into that meeting, and she was already commenting on the angle of the ears of our Gelflings. They are of course super into it, and they're the best authority in the world on it, so it was fantastic. And since then we've been giving them character designs, and they've been giving us feedback on our concepts, and we have to extend their world in some ways that it hasn't been extended before. A game is not a movie, and we need some different varieties and things like that, but we want it to feel supremely Dark Crystal all the way through. And I think as fans ourselves, we try to do it right. It's nice to have the Henson Company to help us. But like the Fizzgig issue is a perfect example. Normally the Fizzgigs would be so small that when we put them in the game that way, we just couldn't see them. People mistook them for inanimate things in the environment, and so we had to make them larger. And of course, the Henson Company said, "Well, why are they big?" And like, "Well, because you can't see them otherwise." And we went through that discussion with them, and they understand too. It's as much as it's important for us to love the franchises that we work with, even if we don't make them or we didn't create them. For the ones that we didn't create, it's equally important for the people who own the franchise to want the game to get made. And that sounds a little odd, but there are some people that aren't willing to kind of let go of the exactingness of their IP, and some people might have vetoed that we made the Fizzgigs that big, in which case then we would have just had to cut them. Like we can't. Our job is to make a game first and foremost.
Yeah.
We're gamers. If we wanted to just go tell stories in the Dark Crystal world, then we would go work on the movie or something.
Yeah.
Right? But we want something where it's a great game. It has to be a great game, a great core tactics experience. It's also in the Dark Crystal world, so our job is to marry those two things together, which is another way to answer your question. The Henson Company was great to work with, and once they understood why the Fizzgig had to be so big, then they're like, okay, well, a true fan will understand that's the way it is. And the Podlings are a little bit different sized, and in order for some of the things in the animations to read on a TV where you're sitting, across the living room from it. We've had to exaggerate and change a few things, but our hope is that it's coming from the right spot. We love VIP as much as anybody, and I think fans will understand why we made those changes in order to make a better game.
When it comes to the different terrains, what are some of your favorite levels that you're in?
So we have some of the environments that you would expect from the movie if you haven't had a chance to see the series. The Crystal Castle,
figures prominently in a lot of the levels. But one of the big things with the new season, which that's in our game, and then we have a bunch of other content that we've added to kind of flesh that out, is this idea that the clans are not unified. It's seven different Gelfling clans. They're all very different, which is, I think, you know, from a lore standpoint, we knew that they were different. We didn't realize how different they were. And so that's been kind of a fun thing for us to discover, and one of the things that I think that fans, as they watch the Netflix series, are going to be excited about too. So when you are going through the world map and you're picking different missions, we have a different terrain for each Gelfling clan, essentially each terrain zone. There's a really cool desert map type. You played on what we call the Stone in the Wood terrain, which is wooded and cliffs, and it's always kind of like a beautiful fall, despite the attacking and fighting. You know, there's we're talking about you know, the Drenchen and their swamp territory and things like that. There's just a lot of fun places we can go in the world of Thrall. With, you know, they all have different creatures and different elements that we can exploit for you know, fun gameplay.
So kind of to extend on that, obviously we have all these different environments, and we kind of saw just from the height of like how it plays in the game. So like, how do all the, I guess, how much does the environment, I guess, play into this game?
It's actually one of the big features that we are kind of amplifying from a tactics standpoint. You know, we are clearly inspired by classics like Final Fantasy Tactics, and, you know, to some extent, it's the trick is always, how do we do an homage to that, and, you know, how far, where do we change it, and where do we add things? So adding, you know, dynamic terrain elements, you know, boulders that you can roll to fill gaps, and then you can walk over them, pillars that you can use to crush your enemies, or if you knock them the other way, they'll provide a bridge across the stream. If you're familiar with the Dark Crystal and the gobbles, which is the nasty quicksand that kind of just instantly eats you, we have that, and you definitely don't want to get knocked back into that because you're not coming out of there. And then we've got some surprises with kind of more larger scale map changing effects and things like that that you know, change up the way a tactics game feels. And, you know, even though maybe you're dead set on bringing this party along and upgrading all those characters, you may have to, you know, play differently if you run into a map that has a cool map that's got levers that open different doors, and depending on who you want to fight, you can the levers go in one way or the other. And if you're good at fighting you know, more ranged characters or fighting against melee, you're going to close that door differently, but then you have a different exit path to get out of the map. So we try to, you know, wind it back to player choice and make sure that it's something that can feed into that just as much as you know, they're caring about their characters.
So sitting here and listening to the music is honestly one of my favorite things about the movie, as well. I mean, obviously the puppetry, but the music is a scale that is immersive and epic, and listening and having the theme play in the background on the menu screen. I have to ask you, who did the music for you guys, and were you very focused on making it, you know?
We're actually still working on the music.
Okay.
This is a track that will be indicative of what we're doing, but it's of course with Hollywood difficult sometimes to just reuse things exactly. So we've got a group that is going to, you know, give us music that has that scale and that orchestral kind of big, deep vibrance, and it'll feel like the Dark Crystal music. It'll technically be different music, of course.
Okay. I think that's all we have. I guess what is, I guess, a launch date? And
we are saying this year, winter. So very late this year.
Awesome.
But the show came out yesterday, and I think it'll be a good chance for people to see some of that. You know, we expect the fans will have seen some of that, but the game is also built again as a core tactics game.
Yeah.
So you won't have to have Dark Crystal knowledge to come in and play and have fun. I think you'll pick up on a lot more of the Easter eggs and the little tidbits here and there if you do know about the Dark Crystal, but it's not something where we require that.
Awesome. Hey, well, thank you so much.
Yeah.